And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, March 7th, 2026. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back right after this song.
You look down on the homeless and the rape of the land. He's seen the preachers and lawyers with blood on their hands. Politicians, beware, 'cause there's a loophole you've missed. Jesus is coming.
Yes, boy.
And boy, is he here.
In a world gone mad, he's watching it all. And the meek shall inherit, but the mighty will fall.
It's a shame what we've come to. We cannot go back, and the train bound for glory went down the wrong track. Soon the love in his heart would be the rage in his face. Is coming,
and boy
is he here.
As sure as the clock ticks, Jesus coming is sooner, and oh boy is he ticked.
So the earthquakes and rumbles and it floods like a curse, and the hatred and the cry, you know it only gets worse. These warnings to
morning once again, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers here on the SFAWBN, March 7th, 2026. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning, guys.
And I want one of you guys to start us off with a word of prayer this morning.
Go ahead, Will.
Tim, will you do that?
Okay,
I will. No problem.
Okay, go ahead. You do it, Will.
All right. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to get together this Saturday morning. And, Lord, I thank you for these men. As we get ready to have a conversation, Lord, I pray that that conversation is pleasing to your ears, Lord, and that we lift up the remnant and all that we have to say, Lord, whether it's in preparation or whatever the subject may be, oh God. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us as we tarry and work here on this old earth, Lord, to preserve your kingdom and prepare the way for your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, there's a lot of things to talk about this morning. Where you guys want to start off?
Well, again, kind of like last week, I suppose we're kind of in that situation where everybody's looking out there at the world and seeing what's going on. For all of the rattling and everything on Iran, I sure can't find out much about Israel, can you? I thought that was kind of interesting. So,
it's funny because we can see Bahrain, the UAE, Syria, Lebanon, I'm sure I'm Saudi Arabia, wherever, I'm Strait of Hormuz. We're seeing all these military actions there, but man, it's near impossible to find out what's happening in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. I mean, there's just no video coming. And I've watched for a solid week now, for 7 days. You catch glimpses, and it's usually from a cell phone, 5 seconds here, 6 seconds there. And you would think with the major media outlets in the Middle East, somebody would be covering what's happening in Israel.
Yeah. I've noticed the same thing. Very difficult. Well, and I heard that the Israeli government put a moratorium out that anyone caught sending video of Tel Aviv outside or out for, you know, distribution is facing a 30-year prison sentence. So at least that's one of the rumors. And, you know, so that might, and actually I tend to believe, and that's kind of a rumor hearsay thing, at least from what I can find out, but I tend to kind of think that might be accurate just given the dearth of of information available. So
sure,
you know,
and their control on the media itself. I mean, you know, they're the, generally speaking, when it comes to the mainstream media, they're the ones pulling the levers and pushing the buttons. So I mean, I guess a media blackout isn't that hard when you're in control like that. It's not really a news story, but I just, I'm going to bring this up. I think part of the reason why we're not seeing the media coverage is because these Iranians, whether it's the Iranians themselves or if they received help from other countries, other nations, there has been so much said for so long about the Iron Dome defense system. And it sure seems like the Iranians have figured out how to defeat it. And when you really come down for a simple guy like me, they just figured out instead of using a centerfire rifle, we're just going to shoot shotguns. And they're using cluster munition so that when the Iron Dome locks in on the incoming round, before it makes contact, it splits. And all of a sudden you have 80 different projectiles coming down at the same time, and they're not able to pinpoint. And so I think, it, not taking any sides from anybody or anything like that, what a creative way to get around that. I don't know. Maybe that's a weird thing to talk about on a Saturday morning, but I
where do I get one?
There's all – right, exactly. There's always a way. There's always a way, and that's I think that's the reason why we're not seeing any coverage of it, because the Iranians have figured out a way to get around that.
Yes, I agree, and a lot of what I have this morning is, I don't know what you want to call it, intelligence chatter and stuff like that. There's not really firm stuff for it, so, you know, take it as you will, but as I understand it, we've talked about it before. Technology is a never-ending race. They call it the technology race because it just goes round and round and round and round. It all depends on where you're at on the time frame. Oh, we have this new great big unbeatable. That's today. Tomorrow it's now, you know, defeatable. I mean, we've now come up with a way to get around that. So over to you. What are you going to come up with? You know, it's... kind of like the old race car adage, somebody's always faster than you are, and you can go as fast as you can afford. So it's like there's always it's a never-ending battle or a never-ending, you know, case of that. And they have come up, like you said, it's kind of an old school example. Oh, well, let's just fire a shotgun instead of a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when I look at the and plus they've topped them with hypersonics. When you consider the fact that at the time of the creation of Iron Dome, it wasn't intended for that type of tracking. I mean, that increases. And supposedly, they're now out of missiles. then guess what? We don't have any more for him either, supposedly. So, I don't know.
And naturally, what comes next, Tim, if you want to fight a war and you're out of aerial munitions, that means there's going to be boots on the ground.
Yes. Yeah. And
so,
supposedly, there was a attack on a pretty big movement on an Iranian nuclear center in the last, like, 36 hours that failed miserably. As far as that went, it was repelled. And I think we're seeing a lot of things inside of this that, well, we talked about it the other day. You don't go in and invade on their soil a country that is like, we don't care. We're not going to surrender. We're not going to give up. They're not going to knuckle under and just say, oh, well, it was our mistake. So it's like, no, you guys attacked at us, you know? So,
right.
I think, there's info out there about somebody wanting a ceasefire or whatever, right? So
there, I know there's a lot of rumbling going on with this current U.S. administration saying they're wanting a total unconditional surrender from Iran in order to get a ceasefire, and it appears Iran, I'm not even sure if Iran responded other than saying, you know, we'll see you on the battlefield. They're wanting a total unconditional surrender from Iran in order to get a ceasefire, and it appears Iran, I'm not even sure if Iran responded other than saying, you know, we'll see you on the battlefield, supposedly as we speak, arming up the Kurdish people to do a ground invasion in Iran.
I have not.
Have y'all heard this? Okay. So the Kurds have been pawns that have been used off and on by the United States and other governments as well. They're an ethnic people that occupy a part of Western Asia. They're actually considered to be an Iranian ethnic group, but they live in an area of Iran and Iraq and Syria all the way up into Turkey. They're a tribal group that kind of occupies those four countries, and there's a lot of them. There's 30, 40 million of them that are living in this area, and they're very akin to kind of the Afghanis. They're mountain-dwelling people. And very primitive, but they're Persian. They're Persian people, and the Ayatollahs have been very oppressive toward the Kurdish people for the last 40, 50 years, and so they've kind of lived in just. Were you guys expecting a boots on the ground war? I thought this was going to be over with in 3 or 4 weeks. That's what they told us.
That's what I thought as well.
I kind of felt like this was probably what was going to happen, but then I always do. So,
right.
I mean, even a stop clock's run twice a day. So, yeah.
The Iran is, you know, we've talked about this, man, you know, more than once. This isn't Venezuela. You know, this is, they're a militarized modern country of over 100 million people. And geographically, they're a huge country. And they have a lot of support from major world powers. Speaking of which, have y'all seen or did you get a chance to look at, it appears Russia is providing Iran with targeting intelligence, just like the U.S. does for Ukraine.
Yeah, so they shouldn't be able to say a whole lot about it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, and the other interesting thing about that is I think that when you look at, there's been a total, I would call it, you know, it's implied or whatever background, but kind of a jaw drop on how much power Iran has been expelling. I mean, they've got a lot of rocket bunkers out in the desert that were basically buried in holes in the sand, you know, and that somehow no one knew was there, or did they, you know, I mean, implied satire. But the point being that these things are definitely, yeah. And I've seen don't know whether it's for real or not, but I seen Trump doing the chin wag on the United States government and on Trump being involved all over the world in places that it's like, you know, he shouldn't be, which, weren't we talking about America first? And now suddenly we're kind of 180 from that, aren't we, all of a sudden? I mean, in the last few weeks here.
I would agree.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
One of the things that's interesting is, has anybody noticed, it's like, and I keep looking for it, maybe you guys have seen it and I just haven't, but I keep looking for J.D. Vance to make a statement on this Iranian war. And I haven't seen anything.
They got him locked away somewhere. Yeah. J.D. Vance hasn't even been visible, has he?
Not that I can see. And you'd think that in a situation like this, we'd be hearing something from him. I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. Kind of like Tel Aviv, not getting any news up from there, not getting any news from JD. It's kind of interesting.
I will tell you guys, and this is going off script, I guess, or whatever you want to say, but I am wondering with, it appears that the MAGA, Tim, you were talking about, you know, America first is what we were supposed to do, or what a lot of us voted for, whatever the case may be. It certainly seems like that has gone off the rails. And I'll tell you guys, you know, with Venezuela and that sort of thing, at least that's in our backyard. You know, at least that's in our backyard. There was a lot of American infrastructure that went down there in the 90s. And I can see the argument of we're reclaiming what's rightfully ours. You know, there was a lot of talk about the Monroe Doctrine and that sort of thing. Whereas I didn't necessarily like it, it was a very limited military strike to remove a dictator, to put American companies back in charge of what we built. Okay, I'm okay with that if that's what we're going to do. I look at what's going on in Iran right now, and I hate to be a broken record and keep going back to this, but the level of lawlessness that is happening just hours from where I live in Mexico, that is a direct threat to the homeland. And we're doing nothing militarily to address that.
Yeah.
But we are across the ocean in the Middle East, in my opinion, fighting Israel's war.
Right.
That's what I see. That's what I see this as. Is this is a Zionist-controlled move for the Greater Israel project to reclaim that large swath. Let me back that up. Not to reclaim. That's not the right word. But to claim that land for Israel. And that doesn't benefit Americans. That doesn't benefit the homeland. That doesn't benefit any of us. As a matter of fact, I think it makes us more vulnerable. And I'm having a real tough time siding with President Trump and this administration on this. And, Jason, I think that's the reason why you're not hearing anything out of J.D. Vance. Because I don't think J.D. Vance is in agreement with this at all.
Yeah, that was my suspicion. I agree. And I feel the same way. It's we're not taking care of America first. We are, and there's a lot of people that are waking up to this. That's what one of the things that's encouraging is that people are standing up. You look at any kind of social media that's out there, and people are talking about we're getting controlled by the Jews. This is Netanyahu's war. This is Trump is catering to the Jews. And I mean, how many memes have we seen in the last couple of weeks that have come across? And it's exciting when you see people waking up like that.
Yeah.
I've had several people call and this week they've called the ministry and wanted to know, they wanted to order the greatest discovery of our age, talking about the Abrahamic covenant. I've had people that have called that wanted everything that we had on showing that we are the Israelites and on the people that just wanted an identity message. It is interesting to see how many people it's things that they've heard from us in the past is starting to set in, and it's starting to make sense to them. And I think it's just part of that waking up process, that part of the, the spellcasters are losing their power, and the truth is getting out. To me, that's really encouraging, and I'm seeing a lot of it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is. And I think my connect the dot puzzle piece thing, going back to J.D. Vance real quick, is, let's see, J.D. Vance's deputy press secretary is Buckley Carlson, and that's Tucker's brother. And Tucker came out on the 4th or the 5th of the month here and said that he thought that the war with Iran was, quote, absolutely disgusting and evil. And Trump came right out March 5th and said, Tucker's lost his way. I knew that a long time ago, and he's not MAGA. MAGA is saving our country. MAGA is making our country great. And it's like, huh, okay. But that may be a, what do you want to call it? You got a brother there that's a deputy press secretary. Maybe that's as close to a comment, J.D. Vance, as you can get. You know what I'm saying? So, back to the brother. But is it MAGA or is it MIGA? I mean,
right?
Make Israel great again. There's all kinds of. And people are, the other thing is, we want to talk about, you talked about the border issue down there. Well, and I agree 100%. The other thing is we have an absolute insurrection in the Epstein files. To me, this is, the silence is deafening on the amount of graft and violence, and it pales, the stuff that is in there is, we want to talk about an uprising, a takeover of the United States government. You're looking at it right there. When you see, we haven't even scratched the surface of that, and it's I'm not going to say terrifying because God rules, but I'm going to say it is mind blowing, or should be make us so very aware of how much and how far from where we should be we are.
If you remember, we could not, I say we, the British, when they were doing all of their archaeological expeditions, they were unable to translate certain ancient scripts because no one was alive that spoke these. And they were unable to figure out what these languages, you know, were saying until someone found the Rosetta Stone. And the Rosetta Stone was kind of that piece of old school, old world technology that they needed in order to start translating what this ancient script said. And what I'm getting at on that is all of these years, we have been labeled tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists, lunatics.
Right.
Because no one could unravel what we were saying. It was just so contrary to the sheep mindset of the majority of Americans that there was a Zog, that there were these Luciferian, satanic, controlled power brokers that were pulling the levers, that were actually making the decisions for the world, and they really do want an antichrist. They really want a one world government. They really want these things. Well, I think the Epstein files are the Rosetta Stone for that, that all of the sudden you have something in black and white where it's not unknown people. These are names that people know that they recognize in positions of power. And when you start going through what is being said in these things, all of the secrecy or the lies of us being called conspiracy theorists or whatever, that all starts getting ripped away. The scales start getting taken off of the eyes of the masses, and it scares them to death that all of a sudden that the people, the goyim, may start seeing the truth of the Luciferian power brokers that are behind the scenes. And Tim, I agree with you. I personally believe this is the story of the last two centuries, three centuries, whatever it may be, maybe of all time, because it is clearly laying out that there is there is exactly just that, that there are these power brokers that are unelected, that are controlling the people that you're supposedly putting into office, and they're controlling them by money and by blackmail and fill in the blanks. And that should be scary to the enemy, because when people start realizing that, that's when you get uprising. And quite frankly, I think that's the reason why you're seeing the Iranian war now, along with fill in the blanks of anything else, is because they just want that to take a back burner. They want people to be worried about other things instead of the one thing they should be worried about, because that one thing they should be worried about is the actual truth. And they will do anything they can to make sure that that takes a back burner. I hope that makes sense, guys. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. It makes perfect sense to me.
Well, and the insurrection that they're talking about on the backside, going on here and this and that, and I'm not saying that the things in Minnesota are right. They're not. But it's simply a diversionary tactic to a great degree. The insurrection has happened and is continuing to happen at the top level. I mean, of our country and our leadership and everything else. It's been going on for, really, I mean, if you kind of get into it, like you said, centuries. Yeah. So any kind of diversionary tactic is great. It's like, well, let's lay bare the things that are going on up there in Minnesota. No, that wasn't enough. Well, we've got the border crisis. No, that's not enough. We need a bigger diversionary tactic, something huge. We need a war. And that's what, let's go kick Iran, So, I mean, basically, according to the way I understand it, the Iranian people were already rising up against the Islamic regimes over there and taking care of that. So, yeah, they didn't. The whole thing is it's a diversionary tactic. I mean, when you get right down to it,
Israel's been wanting to do that for a long time. I mean, that's the, and they finally got a president that would say, okay, here, yeah, we'll do it. I don't know. And whatever happened behind closed doors there, who knows? But, you know, looking back at, and I seen a video this week, and it was pretty good because it was going back to, you know, the early 2000s, and it was Netanyahu saying, you know, we're 2 weeks away from Iran just wiping us off the planet. We need to go in there. We need to destroy them. We need to strike. And he's been saying that every 2 weeks for the last 20-some years.
Yeah.
It's obvious that they've wanted this done for a long time. And, you know, so now they got their wish. I mean, it's I was really, I don't know, hopeful that wouldn't happen. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah. Well, and the Israelis on their military emblems, they show Greater Israel on their uniform. You know, that's one of their best patches that it depicts borders of Israel from Nile to the Euphrates. And, you know, it's got Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. And they wear that. That's active. That's an active display, you know, patch on there. And they call it that's part of their uniform, official part of their uniform. So this is not made up. I mean, this is an ongoing thing. So it's not new. It's been going on for a long time. I mean, I think these patches, they started putting them on in like 2023 or something along those lines. So
they're basically just telling the story of what they plan on doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is our plan.
This just occurred to me as you were saying that, you know, that sometimes the truth is just in everybody's face and they don't see it. So we have a different understanding of the Abrahamic covenant than most people, as far as the New Jerusalem and that sort of thing. But if you think about birthrights, what it seems like is the state of Israel, to me, when you were just describing that, it seems an awful lot like they're trying to take back their birthright. And if we look back in Scripture, who was it that lost their birthright? It was Esau, Edom.
Edom, yeah.
So, you know, when you were naming off all of these nation states and that sort of thing, and Israel trying to take back those things, if you kind of go by mainstream thinking, it sure seems like they're trying to reclaim what they gave away. And that would be the Edomites. Just a thought. I mean, I don't know.
Yep. Well, and it's certainly a finger of defiance in the face of God. He did what he did, and they don't like it.
Sure.
So, you know,
But I guess that goes back to Tucker Carlson, you know, talking about DNA testing these folks. You know, if they're if the Jews are the chosen people, God will fulfill his covenant. He's going to take care of them. But it sure seems like in their own strength and their own flesh, they're trying to do the work of God in reclaiming these things themselves. That's because they're not God's chosen people, and God's not blessing them in that way. I don't know. That was just some thinking that I had going through my head. It sure seems like they're trying to force something that if it was promised to them by God, they shouldn't have to force it in the way that they're doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was some noise about the fact that, and I don't know the details, but something about the Iranians burning an effigy of Baal over there or something, or Baalok. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of outrage in Israel over that, you know, and kind of would be similar to, say, what, burning a Quran or something. I mean, and what we're running into over there, and this is the thing that I see as being, what do you want to call it, foreign diplomacy or involving ourselves in these wars, which is why I say whatever. But these groups over there, they all serve foreign gods. They all serve, not our God. It's yep. like whatever. We have no reason to spend blood and coin over there on your foreign gods. That's your problem, you know. Don't involve us in it. And if you attempt to, the retaliation will be terrific. And I think just like in Old Testament times when you went in and fought battles you weren't supposed to fight, I mean, there were times when great forces where small forces did great things in the Old Testament when God sent them in and they routed them and they did this and that. And there were other times that they were thrown back because there was sin in the camp. Well, we have sin in the camp, the Epstein files and all these other things going on. And I think that's part of the silence of a lot of these things is it's not going well. And the reason is that. And then we have, Trump calling in 50. Did you see where he called in? I think it was 50 pastors from various denominations to pray over him and pray for the success of this battle and everything into the Oval Office. And it's the case of they don't like the answer. So let's get some different soothsayers in here and some different stuff like that. Maybe just me. I mean, maybe my viewpoint, mm-hmm. but like, wow.
I think the Zionist-controlled Judeo-Christian church is on full display right now, and the federal administration that are making these decisions. It is incredibly evident to me. I don't know how much you guys have watched that or seen some of the reporting that's coming out of the War Department and Pete Hegseth and some of these top generals all the way to the White House that you're talking about, Tim. And I think the magnitude of how deep that is rooted in this administration, I'm not sure we realize it. I think a lot of the decisions that are being made are being based on false doctrine.
Yes. Yep. That I agree.
And that's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It is.
Yeah, that's a scary proposition.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no win-win in that situation for the most part. It's like, well, okay, so, and it goes all the way back to me was, just go back to Shah of Iran. I mean, Americanized this kind of, he was, they were promoting Christian values and forward thinking and everything else. And so we got him out of there. And then basically any way you cut it, backwater wise or forward looking wise, we ended up with the installation of these Ayatollahs in there and the mass Muslimization of those areas, creating a situation which hates America and hates God and hates any type of free thinking or freedom, individual freedom, freedom of choice, and then you're not happy about that. It starts to sound kind of like really what we want is, if you boil it all down, is we just want instability and we want agitation in the region for our own ends or for someone else's ends. So, it's not a good thing.
100%. Prior to the Ayatollah, there's been a lot made here recently in the last week or so because of this Iranian war of Iran's control in Lebanon and Beirut. And prior to the Ayatollah in Iran, which I believe we put into power, but regardless, Lebanon was a resort destination. Beirut was, a Riviera, so to speak, with immaculate hotels and casinos and just a beautiful place. And the entire country of Lebanon I can't remember exactly, but I think a third of the country, at least a third of the country, identified as Christian, either as Protestants or Catholics. And the Lebanese Christians have been around since the time of the writing of the Bible. I mean, it's just, it was normal. And so the U.S. government pushing the Ayatollah or whatever, because I think you're right, Tim. I think you have to have opposition. I think you have to have an antithesis, right? You have to have that in order to have, if you want to foment trouble in a region, you can't have people living in harmony. You have to have opposition, whether it's in religion or politics or whatever the case may be. And I think that that what we have in this current Iranian regime, all it's been for the last 45 plus 50 years, they've just been controlled opposition. And I'm not taking away that they're not religious fanatics or whatever, because I think they are. I think they are religious fanatics when it comes to their brand of Islam and all of that sort of thing. But I think they're pawns in a larger game. And I think it, just like I was talking about with these Epstein files, the actual power broker, the Luciferian power brokers, they know what they're doing when they put these people into positions of power. And they know that they're going to use them for a time. And when that time is up, you see what is happening now, where they're going to come in, they're going to do a regime change, they're going to make Iran some sort of modern, westernized, whatever society. Well, that's what they did with Assad, Bashar al-Assad.
Yep.
And that, you know, they weren't an Islamic regime or anything like that, him and his father, and they used them for a time. And then they needed to get an Islamic radical in there, so they depose him and bring in the leader of ISIS to take over Syria, so that 10, 15, 20 years from now, when we need another conflict, you're going to have this Islamic madman in Syria that needs to be deposed. And that's what – and they do it generationally, so people forget. And they don't remember, you know, that, yeah, all they remember is the here and the now of, this is a bad man that needs to go away. And what they don't remember, who actually put them into 40 years from now, when it's time to go in and take out this current Syrian leader, no one's going to remember with him shaking hands with President Trump in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what these bastards bet on, that we are short-sighted in our memories and we don't remember what they're doing to us. And they're playing us like a cheap tin drum. And they're using our riches and our wealth and our children's blood to get what they want. They're playing the long game, and we are very short-sighted. And to me, guys, you know, I talk about history a lot. But this is why it's important to know our history, because when you are able to look back and pinpoint the players in the game, you realize the play that's coming next, because it's the same thing over and over. They change regions, they change names, but the plays are the same. They're running the same tired old playbook. And Jason, to your point earlier, you were talking about the memes and the social media and that sort of thing. I think that's awesome, because that's exposing the game. That's exposing what they do. And I love it. I pray, it is a sincere prayer of mine that more and more of that keeps coming out. We need to realize what these people do to us and what they do all across the world with the regime changes that we see and that sort of thing. We need to get more and more of that truth out, because once you realize what they're doing to us, I mean, you guys have to stop, think about it. It has been 35 years since Saddam Hussein went into Kuwait to take the oil fields in Kuwait. Well, it's been 50 years since we put Saddam Hussein into power. So 20 years after Saddam Hussein, I think he went into power in 68, 23 years after he went into power, we went to war with him, but we're the ones who put him into power. And, I mean, you start looking at this stuff and realizing it's all, I don't want to say theater, but it's all theater. It is all theater to keep our people in turmoil. And part of the reason why they want to keep us in turmoil is because they want us to turn our eyes away from the Almighty God and his plan that is perfect and finished. We see it in Scripture. They want us to divert our attention to that and to look at the Baal God of government that is set up, whether it's here or in Tel Aviv or wherever. They want us to look to the God of man and man's government. And that is what they want us to put our hope in and our trust in, because we want to feel safe and secure. And the only security and safety that is real and everlasting is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And they want us to be separated from that. So you got to figure out the game in order to realize who the winners really are. And that is Jacob Israel.
Amen. So going back to this Iranian war just a little bit, I agree with you 100%. So they're saying that basically this thing, it started on the 28th, and then it said that Iran targeted missile targets on several U.S. bases. Where were those, and what happened with that?
Yeah, that's, Jason, when you started seeing like Jordan getting hit and the United Arab Emirates getting hit and Bahrain getting hit, those were all the military. Those are countries that host U.S. bases.
Okay.
U.S. Air Force bases, that sort of thing. So what Iran did was they pretty much, their strategy was, we can't hit the continental United States, but we're going to hit all of your assets in the Middle East.
Right.
And so they started targeting those areas that host U.S. personnel.
Okay. So did we have any casualties out of that?
That's debatable, huh, Tim?
Well, supposedly we've had 4, but unofficial reports are saying well over 1,000. So I, you know,
that's what I've heard, like, too.
Yes, I mean, how do you blow all these bases up with 4 casualties? Unlikely, right? I mean, but and there's been a whole lot of that go on. Yeah, I mean, and talking about, just kind of going along with this, but talking about script flipping, you know, that goes on. It was just like a half an administration ago, or a short administration ago, however you want to say it. We were firing generals who were Christians. We were bringing in the Satanists. We were doing all this kind of stuff, just nuts. And as of just a day or two ago, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation said it's been inundated with more than 200 calls across dozens of military installations, and they've had over 110 complaints filed between Saturday morning and Monday morning of last week, from service members reporting their commanders have invoked Christian Zionist rhetoric, saying that, you know, Trump was anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and mark his return to Earth. And that was what one commander told his combat unit, and everything like that. So, boy, they love to, you know, twist and turn that. And, yeah, we're seeing these attacks over there on our bases. And we still haven't talked about, you know, there's the sleeper cell element involved in that. And now Iran is starting to make some noise through official channels about the fact that our missiles may not be able to reach your shores, but we have other things that can, you know. So,
and we've got stuff that's already there.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would like to speak to that just briefly about the sleeper cells. This week, through some just some intelligence that are coming through with official channels. So you know how this works when it's official. You can multiply it by 3, 4, 5, 10 if you want, whatever. There was a number this week put on the number of possible personnel in these sleeper cells, if you want to call them that, that came across this week, and that number was 100,000 people. 100,000 people currently in the continental United States that they believe could be sleeper agents for the state of Iran. So if you want to believe 100,000, that's an awful lot of people. I personally think you probably need to multiply that by a minimum of 5. It's probably 500,000 people if they're saying 100,000.
And it's very possible that it's upwards of 1,000,000, too.
100%, because specifically we're talking about linked to Iran. These are not sleeper cells for China. I fill in the blanks of other nation states that have brought their
million too.
100%, because specifically we're talking about linked to Iran. These are not sleeper cells for China. I fill in the blanks of other nation states that have brought their
million too.
100%, because specifically we're talking about linked to Iran. These are not sleeper cells for China. I fill in the blanks of other nation states that have brought their
million too.
100%, because specifically we're talking about linked to Iran. These are not sleeper cells for China. I fill in the blanks of other nation states that have brought their pride. Iranian Revolutionary Guard members that came onto our homeland in the 4 years of Joe Biden's administration that weren't deported. They weren't sent back. They were actually identified and let loose into the continental United States.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. So now I am a guy that kind of tries to put this together, and I'm thinking, okay, so if you have 3,000 men who are in the inner sanctums of the Iranian military infrastructure who made it onto our shore, and they're saying there's 100,000 sleeper agents associated with the government of Iran. Well, I can tell you those 3,000 are your division commanders.
Yes.
And they're the ones that are probably, you know, if you start putting this together and looking at it, and, you know, I don't know about you guys, and I'm really not sitting, I don't want this to come through in a spirit of fear. If anything, I want it to be a spirit of, you know, like Colonel Moore and Pastor Jones and Pastor Peters, you know, when they would talk about these things, because our people need to know. I think a 100,000 man army embedded within the population of the United States is a formidable foe, and we should know these things.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway,
good point.
And that's
be aware. Exactly.
That's just associated with the Iranians. That's not other nation states that may be friendly to the cause of the Iranians, because we know the Russians are providing targeting intelligence, which I think is a huge tit for tat. If you guys haven't thought about that, we're trying to, you know, supposedly, you know, Trump was going to end this war in the first month that he was in office in Ukraine. Of course, it's still going, and Russia hasn't conceded anything at all. They haven't conceded one inch of ground. As a matter of fact, they just keep taking ground. And now, in defiance or whatever you want to call it, they are taking the public approach of, yeah, we're helping our friends, the Iranians, with targeting intelligence, just like you do with the Ukraine. You know,
right.
I don't know. I mean, that's ballsy. I like it. I mean, I don't have a dog in that fight either way, but at least the Russians are, they're not afraid to stand up to the Zionist power brokers.
Good point. We got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines real quick before we take a break. Hey, Warren, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I was just going to call in a praise report. I found out yesterday my niece Katrina said for some reason she had to have back surgery. She had an accident last week, you know, where she hit a deer. I'm not sure what that was, but then it's also I have to pray for my nephew, Steve, and he's supposed to be having his heart checked out this week on the 24th. And I can't listen this morning. I heard the last caller talking about something about a dog thing. To get a chance to play that song on Snoopy and the Red Baron, we do have a dog in the fight. You know, Snoopy got us through World War One, World War Two, Korea, and Vietnam. We're going to do this one, too. Yeah, if you can pull it up, that'd be a good song for today.
I'll see if I can.
Okay.
What was the name of it?
Snoopy and the Red Baron.
Snoopy and the Red Baron. All right, I'll see if I can come up with
it. You know, because it's Christmas time, you know, Snoopy makes, the Red Baron makes Snoopy land behind their enemy lines, but in the original song, it says on the Red Baron was in for, you know, a real dog fight. The reason I talk about that, because anybody that's listening in, I don't know if they get to American Legion magazine, but this week they had this month they had an article from this guy that said, Vietnam for two tours of duty. He had Snoopy over there with him. And a friend of his asked him what happened to Snoopy, and he pulled open his footlocker. Snoopy still had the mud on him from Vietnam.
That's something.
Right.
All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah, Snoopy will get us through this. God bless you.
God bless. Bye. Well, we got a couple minutes left before we got to take a break. Go ahead, carry on, Will.
You're going to make me remember what I was talking about, Jason. I'm sorry. I got a text, and I'll just share it with you guys real fast about the topic we're talking about right now. And I got to pull the text back up real fast, but the text from somebody who's listening in said, "This is why they sent the men and not the women and children. They sent them to fight. This is where the missing weapons went."
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that made me think of the ammunition that was intercepted in Pueblo. You know, we all, you know, a lot of people would assume that that was just going south of the border, but we don't know that. We don't know where that was going.
Well, and if there is a ground troop situation, why certainly moving it closer to the border might be advantageous in the center part of the country if there's already plenty of ammo on the coastal areas, you know.
Sure.
I'm going to wait till after break to talk about that, I guess. But anyways, there's a whole lot of play going on over there that is just. It's messed up. I mean, there's, and maybe in ways I don't even understand. Probably, likely in ways that I don't understand. But
Well, we're gonna take a real quick break, have a song, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned, folks.
In God we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times, Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore. System. The Second American Revolution today.
Amen. And we're back. And you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is March 7th, 2026. And I don't know, I was thinking about the other day. I had a conversation with Will, and he was telling me about a story. And I don't know, Will, what do you think about sharing that story that you told me about Preston Brooks? I was hoping we could get that on the air sometime, but I had that pulled up and did a little bit of reading on it, and it just, I don't know. Good story, good tidbit from history that we probably don't know.
Yeah, if you want to. You just want me to go from the very beginning?
Yeah, if you don't mind, yeah.
Okay. Preston Brooks, we're going back to the time prior to the American Civil War. Preston Brooks was a elected member of Congress from the state of South Carolina. And he was an interesting man. He was obviously a Southern man, and represented his district well. Well, he is most remembered for something that happened on the floor of Congress in 1856. And the story is this. In 1856, obviously there was a large amount of rhetoric and talk of slavery that was happening in the U.S. Senate and on the floor of the House of Representatives and that sort of thing. And you had largely a large group of people in the northern states that were abolitionists, anti-slavery. And, of course, there was the South, where some of that movement was there for sure, but obviously they were trying to maintain their livelihoods with the agricultural industry and that sort of thing. South Carolina was adamant of declaring their state's rights. And obviously they were the first state to secede from the Union when all of that happened. But this man, Preston Brooks, was a part of a little piece of history that just isn't taught. And what happened was there was a senator named Charles Sumner who was from New York. And Charles Sumner took to the floor of the Senate and started speaking about a man named Andrew Butler. And Andrew Butler was the cousin of Preston Brooks. Andrew Butler was also a South Carolina senator, a sitting South Carolina senator at the time. Well, when Charles Sumner took to the floor of the Senate and started speaking about Andrew Butler was not present. As a matter of fact, he was out of the country at the time. And Charles Sumner was speaking very ugly about Andrew Butler. And specifically, he was speaking about why people like Andrew Butler wanted to maintain slavery. And in this speech, Senator Charles Sumner made it known that he believed that people like Senator Andrew Butler only wanted to keep slaves so that they could have sexual relations with the black women. This is in 1856 on the floor of the Senate. And this is what Charles Sumner said. Well, word gets across to the House of Representatives, to Preston Brooks, that this has been said about his cousin, Andrew Butler. And instead of appealing to some committee to censure Charles Sumner for his words or going on Fox News and talking about how bad this was or whatever, Preston Brooks walks to the floor of the Senate. And this is on May 22nd, 1856. And when he walks onto the floor of the Senate, he is carrying his cane, which was normal at the time. And he walked onto the floor of the Senate and found Senator Charles Sumner and began to thrash him with his cane. And when I say thrash, I mean beat him. He beat him to the floor where Charles Sumner was trying to hide under a table, and Preston Brooks continued to beat him. And I actually should back up and say, before the beating started, he told Charles Sumner reportedly that men from the South defend their honor by dueling. Gentlemen defend their honor by dueling. And then he told him, however, sir, you are no gentleman, so I will beat you like a dog. And so he did. He beat him like a dog. Now, there was another gentleman who was with him whose name is escaping me, but it was Lawrence Kite. Lawrence Kite was the guy's name. And he followed Preston Brooks in. He was also a representative from the state of South Carolina. And this man, this U.S. representative, had a brace of pistols in his waistband. And when they walked in and Preston Brooks started to beat Charles Sumner, other senators went to rush to the aid of Charles Sumner, and Lawrence Kite pulled out this pair of pistols and pointed it at the senators and said, "The gentleman will not be molested while he is about his business." and held these senators at gunpoint while Charles Sumner was beaten almost to death. Preston Brooks beat him almost to death. As a matter of fact, he never was able to regain his position as a senator, and he spent the rest of his days at a convalescent home in New York. Well, he beat him basically retarded. I hate to say it that way, but that's what happened. So in the days after this attack, the sergeant-at-arms levied charges against Preston Brooks, and he was removed from office. He was no longer a representative. He got recalled back to the state of South Carolina. But here's the story. The state of South Carolina held a special election to fill that seat that was vacated by Preston Brooks. And let me tell you, Preston Brooks won that seat again. And it was by an overwhelming majority of South Carolinians put him back in office. And when he made it back to Washington, D.C., there were hundreds of canes that had been mailed to his office in Washington, D.C. with handwritten notes saying things like, "Do it again, Preston." So there was a time in our country. Well, you think politics are bad now? You think that all of this tit and tat going back and forth on Fox News or whatever is bad? There was a time in our country where we had men who filled these positions, and you weren't going to talk bad about their blood and their kin and that sort of thing, especially when they weren't there to defend themselves. And Preston Brooks is just a little piece of history there that, especially in the southern states, they took honor as a real thing. And so there you go, Jason. I don't know if there was anything else you wanted to say about that.
No, that's it. I appreciate it. I really enjoyed that story the other day, and I thought our audience would enjoy to hear it.
Yeah. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Preston Brooks is an interesting guy and a little piece of our history, and that's it.
Yeah, good stuff there. Go ahead.
I think you could contrast that. This is interesting to me. There's someone who stood up for that situation, and we had a veteran, Brian McGinnis, just the other day, who stood up in the Senate and said, nobody wants to die for Israel. Your military, you need to. And they broke his arm and hauled him off in disgrace. And, and they wouldn't even turn around and look at him or acknowledge him as the police. One senator supposedly broke his hand. I don't know what his rank was, but it's a different world today, isn't it? So, yeah.
It is. And I think, honestly, Tim, I think you're going to see more and more of this. And that is kind of the story of, right now, what people have witnessed of all of this bantering going back and forth amongst the Republicans and the, the Democrats or whatever I think it's all controlled. I think it's so controlled to get people into different camps. And, I go back to George Carlin, right? There's a team, and we're not on it. We're not on that team, but the Republicans and Democrats, they are on it. And so I think there's going to be more and more incidences like that Preston Brooks incident of whatever it may be, whatever the topic may be. But I think you're going to see that opposition go kinetic, even on the floor of Congress, because I'm telling you, there are some people that are elected officials. I was going to bring this up earlier, Jason. I'm just going to bring it up real fast. It's interesting to me that there's almost a MAGA hit list if you start going through. And I'm negative toward Trump this morning, and I'm going to continue to be negative now, that we look at these firebrands of people that as Americans, we should look and say, my gosh, this person is singing my song. Marjorie Taylor Greene, well, she's been X'd out by Trump and said she's not a part of MAGA. You look at Tom Massie from the state of Kentucky. He's been X'd out by Trump and said he's not MAGA. You look at Rand Paul from Kentucky. He's X'd out. He's not a part of MAGA. You look at Tucker Carlson, all of these things. And I'm going to tell you, Candace Owens, you look at all of these people. And there's one common denominator amongst every person that I just said. Every one of them is questioning the United States' relationship with Israel and saying that we do not need to be doing what we're doing as far as fighting Israel's war and propping them up as a nation, that Israel is not what they say they are, that they control our American politicians in the pocketbook. They're controlling the vote. They're controlling the American policy. And they're saying all of these things, and then they're going that one step further and putting it in Trump's face and saying, if we're going to make America great again, we've got to divorce ourselves from Israel. Marjorie Taylor Greene, those were her exact words. We have to divorce ourselves from Israel. And you look at where it's gotten her. And that, so when you really stop and look at this, this whole MAGA deal, which I'm going to tell you, I'm a MAGA guy. I'm not going to say that I'm a MAGA guy where I'm 100% with Trump now. I'm just an American first guy. And when you look at these people who are being vocal about being America first, the Trump administration sure as heck seems to be cutting them out of the fold.
Right. Yeah. MAGA to me means make America godly again. That's what I think.
There you go.
If it's godly, it will be great. And I think they put these monikers on things. So are you part of the MAGA movement? You know, and it's like you got to do it as a lump sum thing. You got to take all of the spew with any of the good points, and they make sure and mix in. It's just like rat poison, you know. It's 98% something okay and 2% poison, you know. And it's like, no, we don't want the poison. I mean, you know, and there are some good things there, but it's like we talked about before. We'd like to take the wins for our country that bring America closer to what it's supposed to be. But here lately, it seems like there's been more poison, you know, mixed in. And just going right along with those lines, I think it's interesting that, and this is just kind of a new thing. I mean, I hadn't heard about it. I heard about it actually this morning, but the DOJ is basically having its bar licenses stripped. Had you heard about that?
No.
The state bar or the regulators are coming in and taking away. They're barring the law licenses of lawyers that they don't like within the Trump administration. So,
oh my God.
And yeah, so this throws, I mean, like I said, you want to talk about insurrection, you only have to look as far as what's going on internally with our government. There is all kinds of things going on in there that are, it's a real mare's nest of things to try to sort out. But the Bar Association, you know, when this country started, there was no Bar Association, okay, in our country. You could hang a shingle up and be and be a lawyer or an attorney, or I'm sure there's some definitions there that I'm messing up, okay? But you could do that fine. There was no problem. Well, then the Bar Association moved in, and what people don't understand is the Bar Association is a foreign, I mean, outside the country regulatory branch. You practice before the bar at the behest of this foreign power. It's the Crown Syndicate. The headquarters of the Bar Association are located in London, you know, and every single bar attorney that has applied for license from the bar receives their license from that English power group. And they have their local branches. They have their, and it's called the Bar Association. It's not a bar, you know, agency. It's not a bar regulatory group that is headquartered within the United States or powered within the United States. And you know, you go all the way back to like the War of 1812, and you find out that one of the things that they took out of the Constitution is the fact that you're not allowed to have any declaration by a foreign power of monarchy or a position like prince or a prince from some other country can't hold office over here. He's a prince in that land. And all your attorneys are, all your barristers, all your attorneys, all your lawyers, you know, they all have titles issued to them by the Bar Association. So they all hold up a position from a foreign land. And, you know, roughly 90-95% of all of the elected officials are lawyers. So... Is that an insurrection or is that treasonous? Is that, yeah. So when you see that, there's all kinds of stink going on up there and all kinds of rot going up there that needs to be got rid of. So, but it is definitely a power play, you know.
I know we have other things, but Tim, I want to ask you a question. I have, for the last 30 years, been told that bar... Now, if you talk to lawyers, they'll tell you it means absolutely nothing. It's just the railing that separates the judge from the lawyers inside a courtroom and all that sort of stuff. But for 30-plus years, I have heard that BAR is an acronym for the British Admiralty Registry.
Yes.
Did you agree with that?
I do. Okay. I think it is. And yeah.
And the reason that's important, and just to lend credence to what Tim's saying, not that Tim needs any credence at all, but I go along with that too. I think that's exactly what it means. I think it means just that. And if you look at that, there is a British Admiralty Registry in court, and Tim is 100% right. I can give you the address. It's 7 Rolls Building, Fetter Lane, London, England. That's where it is incorporated and officed at. How's that? I don't know. It's as plain as the nose on your face, but I don't know.
Well, and when you look at the terms in the courtroom, you have the dock,
right?
The admiralty registration tells you that would be C, you know, and you get into that, and that's a whole kettle of fish. But if you want to do some research on it, you can start. You just have to, you know, use eyes to see and ears to hear. But when you begin to read through it, you can see that is all our laws, our godly form of government that was originally established was meant to be capable of being understood by the common man. Instead, we have all these schisms and all these fancy words and all these other things that make it not simple. You know, it becomes a cloak of maliciousness to God's enemies, and they use it well. So, let me see it all.
Well, confusion is one of the main weapons of the enemy, Tim, and I think that's very evident in the modern legal system, don't you think?
I do. Yeah, you get into that, and it's just like, huh? you have to be versed in their... It's like something out of the 1984 book. It doesn't mean what you think it means, you know, or they're not saying what you think they're saying, or it's a misdirect. And it's a cloak of maliciousness. I mean, it's very malicious. So.
Interesting. Go ahead.
I got one quick thing to say just because we're talking about this. I'm sure it's this way in every state, but I'm going to tell you the way it is in the state of Texas. So a magistrate all the way up to a Supreme Court justice in the state of Texas, and I'm not talking about the SCOTUS, I'm talking about the Texas Supreme Court. So you have the Supreme Court of Texas, you have district courts, you have county court of laws, and you have justice of the peace or magistrates here, okay? So, little tidbit of fact. They cannot be sued in the state of Texas for any type of malpractice. Now, it might not be the right verbiage, but misconduct, judicial misconduct. They cannot be sued for judicial misconduct. However, they have their own board made up of other judges that they can be referred to for misconduct. And like in the last, I don't remember what it was now, 3 or 5 years, there hasn't been one affirmative ruling against a judge for allegations of misconduct.
What a shocker.
Right?
Yeah.
What a shocker.
Yeah. It's kind of like peer-reviewed science, you know? I mean, that's no review at all.
It's like they got their own click. It sounds kind of Masonic, too.
Yes.
Well, they also roll around with their own license plate, and the reason that is because in the state of Texas, the transportation code, which is the traffic code, doesn't apply to any sitting magistrate. Look it up.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
They can't get a traffic ticket.
Oh,
all they have to say is they're going to or from some sort of judicial duty, and they're fine. Same thing applies to our state representatives and senators.
Wow. like they're playing Monopoly, get out of jail card free. You know, just put that.
That's
aside.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. I had no idea that even existed. That doesn't even seem right, does it?
It would if you were a judge.
It's a perk. Yeah, right. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. It's a perk.
Hey, this is one of the perks that you get if you want to be a magistrate judge in the state of Texas. He got a bad driving record. We don't care.
If you don't, you can now. I mean, you can just go do whatever you want. I mean, that's fine. So.
Oh my.
DUI is bad. Unless you're a judge, then it's okay. Yeah. I mean, whatever. So. Yeah, it's very strange how that stuff regards. You definitely begin to see the "we don't mind and you don't matter" attitude. You know
that's right.
That goes on. So,
what's going on up in Virginia with these Democrats wanting to? They actually brought it before the teaching board to require teaching of January 6th as an insurrection act.
I think that's a done deal, isn't it? I thought everyone has agreed to that.
They had. I wasn't sure if that was something that was coming up or if it was something that already passed.
I
don't know
that
if everybody agreed with it, but certainly those who mattered did, right?
Yeah. Evidently. The official curriculum in the state of Virginia is going to teach that what happened on January 6th was an insurrection, and they can't use words like peaceful protest or election irregularities or anything like that. So they would have to, if you're going to use a public school system, you're going to have to agree to let your children hear that stuff. And this is all coming out of this new governor, Abigail Spanberger, who's a Democrat, but more importantly, and this is just sounds like crazy stuff we talk about, but it really isn't. She was a CIA spy.
Jeez.
I mean, that's where she came from. That's her background. She was an agent for the CIA, who is now a sitting governor. And I'm not really sure what spycraft and espionage and counter-espionage, and that sort of, I don't know how that translates to being the chief executive of a state, but she was elected. And I'm sure it was, I'm sure there was no, monkey business there, but yeah, Jason, they have to use the right government approved terms or face a backlash when teaching about January 6th.
Well, and as soon as she got into office, they went right in, the legislatures for Virginia went right in and voted themselves a 300% increase in salaries. And while they're trying to supposedly make Virginia a more, what do you want to call it, profitable place to live or better, they're increasing taxes on the list is huge. I mean, the article I'm looking at says ride shares, concerts, counseling, leaf blowers, Amazon deliveries, DoorDash, Uber Eats, ammunition. But the list is as long as my arm, you know, that they're going to increase all that on. And all in the name of making it a better place to live. So,
you just got to pay for, you got to pay for those pay raises.
Yeah, and they're probably exempt from those too, just like the chicks are. Yeah, so
sure.
Yeah, but we've got it. It's just I'd call it insider trading in there. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff that goes on like that, and when we see that going on, it just leaves you shaking your head. And they want to use that word insurrection on that. I think that when you look at all this, it's nothing but a silent, vehement, militant takeover of our country. You know, that's what they're trying for.
Going along those lines, I mean, you're talking about the militant takeover of our country. And since we're up there in that mid-Atlantic region, let's keep going a little north to Rhode Island. Have you seen this proposed legislation that, I mean, more or less, it's gun confiscation in Rhode Island. Did y'all get a chance to take a look at that?
I did.
I was like, what, HB 8073 or something like that.
That's right. And pretty much the deal on that is the way I'm reading it, and you guys correct me on this, is it's, I think you're going to have to turn them in. It's not your grandfathered in or anything like that. So anything that other than maybe bolt action rifles and revolvers, maybe.
Yeah, I think these antique rifles is what, I mean, it was very vague on what, I mean, it's one of those things is you could throw a, they're not like giving you a very good description, which I think is by design anyway.
Agreed. Well, yeah, agreed.
Vague, because then they can define terms, right? Yeah, so that's always, and we've also got a big push, I think, in, that was through, I don't know if that was Rhode Island, but I think there's a national one too. They're trying to ban the sales, and I can't find the number that I'm looking for, but they want to ban the online sales of ammunition so they can no longer be shipped to you. It's got to be a,
in person.
Yeah. It's got to be a face to face. And, they're really, and if you buy more than 1,000 rounds within a 5-day period or whatever, then it gets reported to the U.S. Attorney General. And there's all kinds of things like that. And, of course, it's back to the mass shootings are not going to stop on their own. And it's like they didn't get started on their own either, I don't think. But anyways, it's one of those and just another attack on that, and constant vigilance is our only pushback or our only, and it's a fully Democrat thing. It's not, as far as I understand it, in the U.S. Congress, it's not expected to gain much traction, but there's those things going through all the time that people need to be aware of.
I tell you what, if they're concerned about the mass shootings, we need to talk about bans for, I don't know, homos, transsexuals, maybe people that are on antipsychotic medications, maybe they need to be taken out of society. How about illegal aliens, like we just saw with this dude up in Austin, Texas? I mean, if you look at all of these things of who's actually doing the shooting, maybe the problem really isn't the guns, huh, Tim?
Definitely. Yeah, you see these guys talk, these talking heads talking about different things like that, and it just leaves you going, wow. It's such if you take the vaccine, why are you worried about the fact I did moment? You know what I'm saying? It's like, So, four good guns in the hands of good God-fearing people will take care of those kinds of problems very quickly. And, it is what it is.
A feel-good story about this negative stuff that we're talking about with guns. The state of West Virginia introduced a bill on the 23rd of February allowing the state of West Virginia to sell machine guns to citizens of West Virginia.
I like West Virginia.
Yeah. And their attorney general comes out and says Senate Bill 1071 notes that federal law permits state governments to transfer machine guns to law-abiding citizens under the National Firearms Act of 1934 and the Gun Control Act of 1968. And so they're coming back and saying, yeah, what we're doing is lawful under your own federal laws. So it's not dealers doing it. It's the state of West Virginia doing it.
Wow. Sounds
where
like
they're going to
moving from Virginia to West Virginia, huh?
Oh my gosh, I thought the same thing, Tim. There's going to be a lot of people fleeing Spanberger and heading up to West Virginia. That's novel. I think that's a good move. I don't know the full width and breadth of this, but here's one. Under the proposed legislation, the Office of Public Defense would establish distribution stations at each state police troop headquarters throughout the state. Machine guns available for sale would include AR-15 M16 platforms, M249 type and MP5 type weapons currently in use by law enforcement and the United States Armed Forces. So the way I'm reading this is it's the state of West Virginia National Guard and state police and other law enforcement agencies. It's their surplus weapons that they want to sell, but they're wanting to sell it to their citizens. And I'm going to tell you, that is awesome.
Yeah, I'm 100% for that too. I that's what I was looking into it, and it's they said the same background check that if you wanted to buy a normal, if you wanted to go buy a 22 pistol, it's going to be the same background checks straight across the board.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? It's great.
Yeah, it is. I think we got to call our line. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Hello, caller.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Andy in North Carolina. Hope all is well.
Good. How are you, Andy?
Pretty good. Thanks for the prayers. Hi, Andy. They're helping. And obviously, I was going to talk a little bit back. It took me a little while to get the information. They might back up again, but about Spamberger over there in Virginia. You probably, I don't know if you heard or not, but they put a question on the ballot to trick the people. It says, vote yes for fair and free elections, and all it is the redrawing of districts. She says temporarily, which we don't know that. We know that what that means.
Right.
For the voting districts, basically turn all, I think it's three Democrats and two Republicans, to turn it all to Democrat. So that's what they're tricking the people by the way they're wording it. So people are going to think, oh, yeah, I want free and fair elections. I'm for the SAVE Act. So it's like a trick on the dang ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's how they work.
Yeah, it is. They do that. I don't know. It's when you got to read those ballots four or five times and you're trying to figure out, okay, so is this for it or is this against it? It's like, how much money did they put into this and how many politicians did it take to write it? Because they can take something and completely twist it and turn it around where you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, I got a friend up there. He lives up there, and he calls her the spawn of Satan, and that's basically what she is.
There you go.
And you probably heard too. I guess was it Montana or Wyoming? I can't remember which one it was, but how that one guy dropped out right before the registration, and the other guy signed up, and so that he would be the only. There would be no primary race, and it was so-called Trump supporter and all this bit. That was some little trick they did too this week.
Interesting.
I'm not too sure how that talked.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'll have to check in on that one.
And that was a Republican race, but they just, I don't know, they thought there would be a problem with who they were going to pick. Same thing, I guess, down in Texas. Well, I guess, are they pushing for Paxton down there, I guess? Because Paxton sounds like the best guy to me.
I'm glad you brought this up, Andy, because I was going to try to bring it up with the guys and talk about it. But, yeah, right now we had a three-way run for a Senate seat in Texas. John Cornyn, who is a terrible human being and one of the worst senators that the state of Texas has ever produced, but he's been there for 24 years. He was running against the attorney general, Ken Paxton, and a dude named Wesley Hunt. It's now in a runoff that will get decided in May between Ken Paxton and John Cornyn. Ken Paxton, we were talking earlier about the MAGA folks that have been X'd out by the President Trump and his administration. Ken Paxton has been a diehard supporter of Trump, going back to the first administration. As the attorney general, that dude went to battle with the Joe Biden administration as far as MAGA ideals of there was lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit where Ken Paxton was fighting the federal government under the Joe Biden administration. Jason has heard me say this, and Tim's heard me say this offline. Really, the border fight in Texas was led by the attorney general. It didn't come out of the governor's office. The attorney general, Ken Paxton, fought that fight. He diehard when it came to that. Trump was in love with Ken Paxton when he was fighting that fight. Huge endorsement and all that. Well, Trump's getting ready to endorse John Cornyn, who's not a MAGA guy, who has been very anti-Trump, who's been very, a 100%. He was a Biden guy. They were colleagues as senators. John Cornyn has talked about Joe Biden being one of the best men he's ever known, just all kinds of things like that. And Trump is getting ready to endorse that guy over Ken Paxton. And there's a lot of us down here, Andy, that we love Ken Paxton. He's the real deal. He is a diehard American that loves this country. And I personally had a conversation with Ken Paxton about the 10th Amendment and states' rights. And I'll tell you, he looked at me eyeball to eyeball and said, the 10th Amendment doesn't exist anymore. And it threw me off. And I said, well, how does it not exist anymore? And he says, because nobody in Washington, D.C. recognizes the Constitution anymore.
Yeah, they don't. And they don't even said, know. The senators don't know about the filibuster issue.
That's exactly right, Andy. And that was what he brought up. He said, you have to understand, he said, the majority of your representatives and your senators, they couldn't pass a fifth grade civics test. And he said, nobody knows anything about the Constitution. And so is the kind of guy would need, right? That is going into the position of a senator. Right. And we're looking at a president that's about to endorse the opposite of that. And by the way, John Cornyn wears rainbow socks. Just want to throw that out there.
Oh, my goodness. I heard that. I listen to Bongino report and different things, and there's a guy, Vince, on there, and he's been pushing people to push for Paxton on the X account because Trump does listen to the X account, and there's a lot of people calling in and leaving messages because Trump does listen to the people. And I don't know what he thinks this guy's – it's because what's the head of the head guy he's pushing?
John Cornyn.
Speaker. Yeah.
So.
He's pushing his buttons in, and he's trying to get that guy down in Texas in, and he's just definitely sounds like the wrong guy. I'll be praying on that one. We prayed a lot of stuff
please
in
do.
The church, and we've done a lot of things, and we will turn this country back. May not look pretty, but we'll turn it
Amen.
Back.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys have a good one. Thanks for the show, and keep it killing, man.
All right. God bless. Thanks for calling, Andy. Well, it's as simple as that. Phone number to call in is 970-224-4203. We'll go back to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Hey, Kevin.
Joe. Tim. Jason. Have you got that laser weapon yet, Will?
No, but I may go to West Virginia. It sounds like I stand a good shot of getting one there.
Yeah, you sure do, buddy. These are great stories Will's giving us this morning. They're just really good. I mean, everybody needs canes, right?
Amen.
I'm noticing Iran is the next country to be covered with depleted uranium in the Middle East, right?
It sounds that way.
Yeah, you know, the gift that keeps on giving. And a couple of things that creep in Ukraine is doing this week. He's offering to send troops to help us in Iran. And then the thing with Viktor Orban, that was just way too much. Cutting off gas and the pipeline there. And then they're saying that Ukraine's responsible for sinking that LNG tanker between Malta and Libya this week.
Mm-hmm.
It actually happened, so it's burning up. And they're saying It was one of their sea drones that did that. They can travel 930 miles, carry a payload of 200 or 2 tons. And, the ship did burn. So I don't know if this is true or not, if Ukraine did that. Did any of you gentlemen have
Kevin,
any information?
It wouldn't surprise me, but the real question is, where did the Ukraine get that technology?
Yeah. I see it that way, too.
I was going to ask you, Kevin, did you see, you mentioned Viktor Orban, and that's the head of the country of Hungary, and there's a rift that's really forming between the Ukraine and Hungary right now, and there's war drums being hit over there between those two countries. Did you see where Orban's government seized Ukraine's cash and gold?
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, please.
No, you go ahead, Kevin, please.
On Charter 97, that's that underground Belarusian website, they're claiming that those men have already been released and allowed to go back to Ukraine. I don't understand that at all. Taking, what, 9 kilos of gold and all that cash? And I thought that was a crime.
Well, of course,
they were supposed to be taking it from a bank in Austria, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Something like that, yeah. Yep.
I bet they didn't let him go with the money.
The other question I have... The other question I have is supposedly, wasn't Zelensky whining here just a few days ago about how broke they were? I mean, while he was buying, you know, spending all, but here we have all this. Yeah. So, what is it?
If you guys, what you were just talking about, you know, that they're supposed to be so broke or whatever, depending on who you want to believe, but the government of Hungary, their National Tax and Customs Administration said that this year alone in 2026, $900 million of gold bars were transported through Hungary to the Ukraine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Lastly, this is a very minor thing, but it showed me yesterday that the level of knowledge of young people. I go to a little kiosk and I buy coffee, good coffee, and I'm telling this woman there, it's 75 degrees. I'm saying, boy, I'm glad I can turn off my furnace. And she said something like, I'm trying to remember. So anyways, she says that she wished she had a furnace. And I said, well, you heat your house, right? And she said, yeah. I said, well, then you have a furnace. It shows what these young people know. They won't know anything when things happen. It's a sad state of affairs in that thing. Yeah.
Well, Kevin, I was going to say to you, you're about 3 or 4 hours away from West Virginia, so let me know if you want to go in together on maybe like an acre plot. That way we can say we're residents.
Hey, I'm up for that.
Yeah.
I'll join you, but I'm only 50 miles from Wheeling, so it's not very far.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
Then I'll go down to Webster Springs and get the family to get going on them, too.
See, that's what I was thinking was the 3 or 4 hours to Webster Springs is what I was thinking. So,
yeah. Yes, indeed. I think that's just one of the most terrific things I've heard in a long time. Yeah.
I think it's great.
Hal Turner's reporting what a journalist is saying from Israel. I don't know if it's counterintelligence or what. this Israeli journalist is claiming that we are being lied to completely, that all of our bases have been hit, all kinds of infrastructure we've built in these different countries over there around Iran are being decimated. Any of you have an opinion about that?
I do. I read some news out of Turkey, and a news organization out of Ankara, Kevin, that I was reading confirms that. And apparently the Turkish government has been in communication with whatever the Iranian government looks like now. Because if you notice, the one country that has not been hit that houses American bases is Turkey. And apparently Turkey has told Iran, we will retaliate if you hit our country. And they have not been hit, but Turkey is reporting exactly what you just said, that Hal Turner is saying, is there are elements of military installations in those countries that are completely offline now. They've just been decimated.
Yeah, and they're talking about sending another aircraft task force. The big thing is we're being lied to. There's nothing new, and we can't get rid of this, what, $38 trillion debt. So the answer is go to war, right?
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
And
every time.
A good prepper tip for people is to have lots of flashlights, little disposable flashlights, put them all over in places you need them. And sounds small, but boy, when you need light, it's really good to have. I would say, God
Absolutely.
Bless you, gentlemen. Good point. God bless you, gentlemen.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, definitely interesting times. We got 7-8 minutes left. Where do you guys want to go next?
I was going to pump out. I wanted to bump that business about the words being distorted. And I was thinking of the verse. So I went and looked it up because I couldn't quite get it. But Psalms 56, 5 and 6 says, all day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited to take my life. And that kind of sums up that, you know,
Amen.
All their fancy words. David, I mean, that's how old this is. It was going on in David's time, too. So, old playbook.
Good verse.
Yeah, it is. Well, in light of everything that we see going on, what, you guys got any... what would be something that would be appropriate for a prepper tip of the week? I'll tell you what, one of the things that I just went through is, when you start hearing these wars and rumors of wars and we see this stuff, it's basically is what I have done just in my life is try to go through and just make checklists and try to just, check off the bases, just make sure that I'm stocked up. I mean, we got, water filters and food storage and fuel tanks and everything like that. And I just think it's a good idea to have some extra groceries laying around. I think it's a good time to have your fuel tanks filled. Never know what's going to happen. And we could go into situation after situation or scenario after scenario. But, to me, it's just like be prepared to take care of what you need to take care of. If you got chickens, have extra chicken feed. If you got cows, have extra feed for them laying around. I think that, and I always think this, and I guess I always go into this mode when you see something like this happen on a world events. I go back in and it's like those survival instincts start kicking in and you start thinking about things. And me, there hasn't been one thing that I've been focusing on because it's been something that, we've been trying for years to be prepared to be, a survivalist. However, whatever term you want to put on it. You know, a lot of people use the prepper, and I really don't like that that term. But you know, we be prepared to take care of whatever we need to take care of. And I think food prices, very possible that food prices skyrocket again. I think it's very possible that we see gas prices skyrocket again. Who knows what's you know, what's going to happen or how it's going to play out. But I think it's, you know, if you have what you need, you're going to be in a good spot. I mean, just you think about it as far as inflation goes, and what we've seen with inflation over the last couple of years is, you know, some of the stuff that we bought 5 years ago that has got a 35-year shelf life on it is you know, it cost you double to, you know, put some of that stuff away today. So it's
if not more.
If not more, yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it's – what do you guys think?
I think everything's going to go up, just like it always does. I mean, have we been through this before? I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think that focusing on one single point too heavily is erroneous. It takes – try to maintain a full package thought process there. So
last Saturday after coffee, I went and filled up my truck. I have a 3/4 ton diesel, and diesel was $2.99 a gallon. Today it's $4.50 at my local filling station.
Okay.
And that's in 1 week.
We did not get hit that hard with it at all. But wow, that's
but it's
substantial.
Yeah,
it's coming. $4.49. It went up $1.50 in 1 week, and so that's
50%.
What you're saying,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It went up. Like I said, 50% of $1.50. What you guys are talking about and what Tim just hit on is everything runs on diesel. You know, it's not you know, fairy piss and wishes and dreams like the Dems want us to run things on. Everything runs on diesel, whether it's locomotives, over the road trucks, whatever the case may be. Your food gets to you. Tractors. Your food is produced and it gets to you by diesel. And if diesel went up that quick, 50% here locally at least, 50% gets passed on somewhere. And it's going to get passed on to you as the consumer. So what you guys are talking about is spot on, 100%.
We've talked about
go ahead,
purchasing more ammunition, you know, and different things like that. And you guys, it's going up. It's getting harder to find, you know, so don't wait until the last minute. I know in times past, we've informed people on that. It's like, you know, keep good trade products, too. Always look toward that. The banks are going to shut down. The first thing to go in any type of local crisis is your credit card or your bank card. It's useless.
Yep.
So cash will run a little while longer, and then eventually it may not be any good either. But there's lots of things like that to think about.
I have two quick things to jump on there. Remember, there's a military conflict going on. We've already seen some shortages because of the Russian-Ukraine war. If we really do start having a shoot-em-up war in the Middle East, you can wave bye to ready supplies of ammunition just because of federal contracts. You'll see that stuff start to dry up. So there's no time like the present. Hit a gun show, hit a gun store, whatever the case may be. 22 is usually one of the first calibers you see leave the shelf because they stop the production of that to go to the centerfire rounds that are needed for war. So you might want to stock up on that. And I have one more thing, Jason, and this is just from Will's point of view. I always travel with a pistol. If I got my pants on, I'm wearing a pistol. But the last week, I've gone back to carrying a long gun in the truck everywhere I go, just because.
Yeah, and that's what I started doing too. And if it wasn't a rifle, then I had a shotgun. I just felt like it was it's time to stay more armed. Just because. Yeah, I like it. Just because. Yeah. Yep.
Just because.
Because luck favors the prepared, or God favors.
There you go.
Yeah. So there you go. Yep.
Well, we are out of time, man. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you.
You bet.
I enjoyed it. And Remnant, thank you for being here as well. Join us for church tomorrow.